Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hey, hey, and welcome in to the House of L podcast. I appreciate everyone who is listening. This is audio only. Episode. I've been talking about this in the audio onlys over the last month or so. Basically, I've decided that the YouTube page, the algorithm thinks that my podcast is a Bears podcast. So fine, let's just make it the Bears podcast. And anything else that I want to do, I can do it here. Whether you're listening on Spotify or you're listening on Apple, I can just do the stuff here, and then I don't have to worry about it, and then looking at the views and being like, wow, I thought that was a good episode. Why didn't it get views? Well, because YouTube didn't push it, because I didn't say the magic word, Bears, in the description. I guess I could just throw Bears into every description, but that would be dishonest, and I don't want to do that. So for the people who rock with me on the audio, I'll have stuff for you on here that'll have a lot more to do with education, career, personal stuff that I feel like sharing, that sort of thing, which is what this particular podcast is about. We are brought to you by Remy Martin. Team up with excellence. Love Remy. Love the partnership. The partnership continues. We're going to have some cool things, I think, this fall. There's some stuff that I'm writing down, like some opportunities to maybe take the podcast outside, figuratively and literally, to do some things, some football-related stuff that I wanted to do, and we will try to get that stuff done, and Remy, of course, will be a partner. If you're a business and you want to partner up with House of L, email us, houseoflpodcast@gmail.com. We're like a two-person shop now. Like, my nephew, Justin, has been doing a lot of the video stuff on the pod, but I guess it's a family business. It's a very small family business that we're doing over here. I am trying to get the sports adjacent crew back together. That is, they both need the outlet. Russ and Jason, they both need the outlet. Now, I don't think that we can do a weekly with them because Tony has 18 kids now. He has a lot of kids. And he also has a full-time job running content for CHGO. So I don't think we can get the whole crew back together for every week, but I do think that we should do something once a month. I'll produce it. I don't care. I'll produce it. I'll sit there and be the third mic because Tony has 18 babies. And it's fine. In the summertime, I actually have more time to do that, strangely enough. So every time I see Jason, who has been doing a great job of coming in and filling in on Spiegel and Holmes, and Russ, I'm so happy that he's doing some fill-in stuff on Raheemy and Harris because he and Marshall are tight. It's an easy chemistry. He and Layla are tight, so it's easy chemistry when he pops up and he shows up on the show and he's only wearing a tank top. God bless that man. He is putting in the work. And he wants you to see that he is putting in that work. So once once I convince them and pin them down to, hey, why don't you guys just do once a month? Like, when they stop the podcast, it's like, I'm not going to stop the RSS feed of it. Like, you guys are going to come back to it. you need the space to go and do stuff. So do stuff. But once I get them convinced, we will hopefully get them going. And we have a month till training camp. So that's ample time for Jason to do a show or two before his world gets crazy. And then clearly Russ being the baseball Bigfoot over at Yahoo, as the season gets closer to a conclusion, he's going to be all over the place traveling too. So I get it. It's just give the people what they want, and they want a little bit of what's going on with those guys. They're really talented people and fun, and people like hearing from them. So I wanted to update you on what's going on because I haven't been doing the pod a lot. Some of it I wasn't feeling particularly well. It's so strange, man. Like the smallest things can kind of throw you off track. And especially as you get older, but also like I'm immunocompromised because I have Crohn's and, you know, I take some meds that for those of you who don't know, I'll try and break it down for you as simply as I can. I have Crohn's. So my immune system attacks my digestive system. And to make it so that I don't go into what's called flare, I've taken all sorts of medication since I was diagnosed when I was, 16? So for the last 35 years, roughly, I've been taking medications that have suppressed my immune system. Back before my birthday, I went to go see the doctor. Everything's great. Like, my numbers are really good, like, all the way around. Like, my lipids are okay, and I wanted to drop some weight, so I did, because my blood pressure got a little high. Not surprising, considering what had been happening at the score over the last year, but I was not handling it very well physically, and I got my blood pressure taken, and I was like, ooh, shit, like, that is high for me. It wasn't in, like, a danger zone, but it was definitely in a, you need to get back to work. So I've since like gotten back to work and been better about my diet. And if you guys saw the episode or listened to the episode with Spice, that was like the beginning of it. Like when the Super Bowl ended was when I started to get back to it. I'm super disciplined. And as a person, I'm pretty disciplined too. When it comes to working out, I have that discipline. The discipline I'm still trying to work on is changing my diet. And so far, like for the past few months, I've done a good job with that. And subsequently, I have lost 20 pounds. Although losing the weight isn't the goal. Like, I want to be stronger, and as you get older, you should lift. And I've gotten back into lifting. And I'm as strong as I've ever been, and that's good. It's a great stress reliever. I still love to get on the elliptical, and I still do that probably 5 days a week. I'm getting probably somewhere between 20 and 30 miles a week on the elliptical. I just can't run anymore, and I'm like, I don't – the concrete and the knees, they just don't mix. So I've gotten back into lifting, and I've talked with people like Olin, for example, to kind of help me with that. And now I'm pretty strong for me, like all of these goals are my own. But I'm still working towards a 300-pound deadlift, and Olin told me to take that very slowly, and he's right. But I've been building towards that, and the fact that I can put 245s on the barbell and confidently know that I can rep that is good. I had a really nice moment in the gym the other day. You guys ever seen that reel? There's this really nice kind of quirky young lady who's talking about how she had never gone to the gym. And then she goes to the gym and she found out that like she really likes gym bros because they're nice. And they were nice to her, and they helped her. There was a young lady at U of C, and she's clearly on track. Like, she's clearly, like, you know, I don't know if she throws hammer or if she throws shot put, but she is hella strong. And she asked me to help spot her on the bench press. And I was like, oh, yeah, I can do that. That's easy. Well, I mean, it's not easy because she was putting up weight. I think she maxed out at 215. And I don't think I can do 215. I haven't tried because I don't trust a lot of people to spot me. I usually use dumbbells. And, you know, I'm pretty consistent. I'm not Aaron Donald, but I can get the 70s up there and do my thing. Anyhoozle. It's been like a thing where I've been trying to relieve stress and make sure that the blood pressure is back. And when I went to the doctor in May, the blood pressure was right on point. It's exactly where it used to be for me, and that made me happy. There was a gap in between my prescription refills. Like, there was just some, you ever have those days where technology doesn't work for you? Like, you feel like you're the unlucky one and just, like, something goes wrong. Like, a clock is off or your Wi-Fi isn't quite working, or you're being asked to log into stuff that you ordinarily don't have to log into. That was what was going on with my prescription for the drug that I use. And so there was a gap. There was like a three-week gap of me not having meds. But I was working out and I was feeling fine. And I think I'd have to go through this with my doctors. I think what happened was my immune system was like, oh, we're not being suppressed. Yay. And I felt amazing. Now, this happens often with anyone who's on any type of drug, that as the drug like kind of leaves your body feels amazing. Even people who go through cancer treatment, they go through this where if they pull themselves off of their drugs, like if they've made the decision to go holistic, when they first pull themselves off their drugs, because a lot of the drugs that are being used in immunosuppression are chemotherapeutic, and you have that kind of bump back where you feel great. So I was in a stage where I felt really, really good, and I had traveled, and I somehow forgot to wear a mask, and I don't know why, and I just, when I got back, I was not good. I was sick. Like, there was something that was going on with me. There was definitely a sinus infection, which I get a lot, and people who are on immunosuppressive drugs tend to get infections more frequently. This is a long way to get to what I'm actually want to talk to you about on this podcast, but I got my drugs and I got back on them, which meant that my immune system was back to being suppressed, that the white blood count would be lower, like that sort of thing, and fighting it off became difficult. And I fought it off and I felt better. And then there was also like stress, and you're dealing with the stress. The stress part, and this is the part why you came to this particular episode of the podcast. The stress part is that I was at the end of my contract with the score. I made the decision that I was going to represent myself in this negotiation. And it turned out to be the right choice. I had an agent for the last 3 years who did a great job of my last score contract. But one of the things that you end up finding out about is, unless you're really playing in the big leagues, like Parkins needs an agent. Like, he has to have an agent to go through his Fox contract. If I were going to go work at ESPN, you know, like Malika Andrews needs an agent for all of the things that are coming at her. If you're represented by CAA, for example, then yeah, and you're doing like national stuff, I've come to the conclusion throughout my career that it's important. On the local side, and my choice has always been that I wanted to stay local. Like, I love Chicago, so I want to stay in Chicago. I really liked when Stadium as a network was here because it gave me the opportunity to do national stuff at the United Center. That's perfect. But the choice has always been I wanted to do stuff locally. And my agent, and I'd had a conversation. I said, you know, with the contract coming up, I am okay if you want to explore stuff. Like, for the first time in my career, I was like, let's see what else is out there, even if that meant a market change. And clearly, like, there are places that I love, for example, Arizona. Like, if there was a sportscaster job in Arizona, I was looking at that, or I wanted him to look at that. But when you're a local host who, for the most part, the contract parameters for someone like me are pretty easy for any accredited agent. It's pretty easy to do at this point what my contract would be at the score. So I was like, I could do that. So I moved on from my agent. I decided I was going to represent myself, and representing myself also meant that I needed to make some choices. Like, Lawrence the client and Lawrence the agent needed to have some discussions about what it is that I wanted to do and if I wanted to come back. As I've said before on the pod, this last year has been rough. Like, there's been a lot of upheaval at the score, and there's stuff that I can say and there's stuff that I can't because of how this business works. I'll tell you that it all has affected me it's affected me deeply to the point where I was like, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. It kind of felt like everything that had happened, and there were times where I felt like there were people who didn't understand what had happened. There were times where I felt like there could have been more clarity on some of the things that happened. And some of that is on me. Like, I've chosen to stay quiet about a lot of things because I don't, the decisions that I make, like, I'm fine speaking on them. I'm not fine speaking on decisions that others make. That's not my job. And I don't want to bus toss anyone. You know, like, I don't ever want to do that. Like, I don't want that to be who I am, what my reputation is. So for the most part, there was stuff that I would say a bunch of people got blamed for that wasn't their fault, including Layla. And it's been hard to, like, bite your tongue in some of those situations. And I was like, I don't really need this. And it was a nice, clean conclusion for me. I was like, oh, look, well, my contract's coming up. I can choose to go do something else. And there were a couple things that went into this. I had applied for a full-time job in higher ed. Like, I have a profile on LinkedIn that is just, it's not even my broadcasting stuff. It's just my teaching stuff. It's just my teaching CV. And there was a job that was really intriguing that came up. And it, in fact, it starts in a couple of weeks. I didn't get the job, but I was intrigued enough to apply. And it would have meant a complete life change for me. I would have made, I don't know, maybe half of what I make at the score, probably a third of what I make at the score to do it. But it was for a university that, going through the interview process, I was like, I really like what they're talking about. And this is a perfect jumping off point for me to go do something else. And something that I'm passionate about. I love teaching. So I did that. And I let Mitch Rosen know, too. Like, I had told him, I said, look, I don't know, one, if I'm going to get this job. Two, if I get it, that I would accept it. But I need to try it. I need to, and I want to let you know that I'm in this process right now. And he was like, please go explore it. He's like, I get it. So I let him know when I went and applied for it because I didn't want him to be caught off guard. I don't think that that's fair at all. And I went through the interview process for it, and I made it pretty far. It's funny. I actually got the rejection letter yesterday. And I will say that going through a higher ed hiring process was illuminating. And I've never, the way that it worked at DePaul was Scott Viverman was like, hey, do you want to teach a class? Yeah, that'd be fun. I talked to the department chair. I laid out kind of what I wanted to do. They said, go forth. And I've been at DePaul for 13 years doing my class. And I really love it. And I love this latest year that I had. And I thought, okay, well, now that I have a master's degree, I'm legitimately qualified for a faculty position. When you add that to what it is that I'm teaching, because I'm teaching what I know as a scholar practitioner. So even though I don't have a PhD, my master's degree and 30 years in the industry kind of equal that out. So I went for it and it was illuminating. And I thought the interview process with this university was incredible. And I learned a lot of stuff about how to do all of this. And it was fun to go through it. And I didn't get it. And I was sad when it because, you know, they don't have to tell you that you didn't get it. They lay out pretty early on in the process, hey, if you don't hear from us, that means you didn't get it. And so there was a long stretch that I didn't hear from them after doing a couple of rounds of interviews. And I was like, oh, I guess I didn't get it. Okay, on to the next thing. So the next part was, do I want to explore things out of the house, meaning the score? There's still some things that I want to do in TV. And this was my first opportunity in a while where I felt like I could be a free agent. My contract had been 3 years. So this was true like free agency for me, that I could ask around or people could ask me, hey, when's your deal up and what are you going to do when your deal is up? And I had a lot of good conversations with people around the industry in Chicago. There were three things that started to kind of get me back in the mode of wanting to do this. So actually, four things. But one of them was being able to sit down with Mitch. I think we sat down in April and we just talked. And I said, this is kind of what I'm going through. I don't know if this is career stuff or if it's midlife crisis stuff, but I need a break. Like what I told him is that what I really needed more than anything was a sabbatical. But it's not fair to ask anyone for a sabbatical. In my mind, it's like if I took a month off, I could really like clear my head. And he's like, I don't know if I can let you do that, but we can talk about it. And that's what good bosses do. So we talked it through. Then there was the Barrett Sports Summit. And I went to that, and it was great to kind of be around other people in the industry and my colleagues. And I was on a panel with Sylvie and with Spiegs, and it was great. And I got to say some things, you know, like there are some things that I wanted to say about the industry and some things I wanted to say about social media, and I said them there, and that felt good. That same night, the Lissagor Awards happened, and I went to the Lissagor Awards, and it really, like, recharged my battery. Being around people who care about journalism and winning the award, like, I was super excited, not necessarily for me, but for everyone else who was involved, you know, Ryan Porth, Mitch Rosen, Ray Diaz, Chris Tannehill, I was really excited. And we kind of dropped the ball as a station. Like, we should have all gone, but we got one ticket, and I appreciate the Lissagor Award people. And I was like, I'll go because I've been there before. I know how the whole thing works. And if Ray wanted to go, I'd love for him to be able to take someone. And Tanny wanted to go, I wanted him to take his wife. Like, same thing with Porth and with Mitch. But I was like, I'll just go solo dolo because that's what I did a couple years ago. Won the award, was able to share the award with people, and I was like, okay, like this feels great. But the whole time, it's still a matter of, do you want to do this? That doing a talk show every day is a bit of a grind. And I was clearly burned out. Clearly. And working through that burnout, like it's hard to explain the concept of being burned out on a job that you actually love. On what most people would consider to be a dream job. But when you've been doing it as long as I have, and when you have, like all the changes that happened last year. And not knowing, honestly, when I got to the afternoon show, whether or not it was a fit. We'll get back to the pod in just a minute. Have you been juggling client meetings, managing your website, and keeping up with everyday tasks? There's a lot of stress involved with that, especially when it comes to website security. With Kensta, they take care of the technical stuff so you can focus on what you do best. Whether you're a business owner, web developer, or running a digital agency, Kensta makes managing your website easy and efficient so you can spend your time on what matters most. And thanks to their unlimited free expert-led migrations, Kensta ensures a smooth transition from other hosting providers so you won't experience any downtime. If you're ready to experience Kensta's hosting for yourself, get your first month free when you sign up at Kensta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kensta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. That's Kinsta.com to get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
And it was a struggle for me for a long time to be like, well, wait, this kind of just feels like I'm holding Danny's place until Danny comes back, but he's not coming back. How do I make this show uniquely Spiegel and Holmes? Like that sort of thing. And everyone was helpful in that regard. Spiegs was, Shane was, Tanny was. Like they were trying to help me figure out how to fit and not make the same show with me in it, but make a different show with all of the elements of all of us there. And so I still appreciate that. And now with Alex, like Alex is doing that for us, or he has been doing that for us for the last 6 weeks or so. So one of the things that I talked to Mitch about, and I said, I feel like I need to help me from going crazy. And Dan and I would talk about this all the time, like as a philosophy. Dan's philosophy on this, and I share it to an extent. I understand where he would come from on this. He didn't want to be out in the public. Even though he had a background as a reporter, Dan felt that he could keep his objectivity better by being in the studio than being out in the field. And I get that you want to have as clear of eyes as possible to talk about some of this stuff. I personally feel disconnected. And the schedule change played a role in that. When I was doing middays, I could still get to the ball. Like, I could go to Wrigley or go to White Sox, for example, on the way home. And yeah, it made for a little bit of a longer day, but I'd go and check out what was going on pregame or with Bulls stuff. I love that. Like, I did shows for free for the Score because there was no reason to not do them. I was at the United Center. We have a hookup there. All I had to do was walk in and be slightly entertaining for 40 minutes. But that intel that I was getting, being in Billy's press conferences, talking to people in the tunnel, that sort of stuff. When I moved to afternoons, while overall I liked the schedule better, that's one thing that had been gnawing at me, that I am not out in the field as much. I'm not getting to know the interactions of the players and things like that. So I wanted to do more of that. And Mitch and Kevin Cassidy were open to it. And I said, well, this is what I think it could look like. And they said, you know what? We might be able to make that work. And so then I had some decisions to make. Like, the Score made their offer. And I talked to people. I talked to other places and see, like, is there a fit? There were some places that I ran into a bunch of people at the Lissagor Awards that were like, hey, would you be interested in blah, 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 or blah, blah, blah? And I can tell you that after doing it for 4 years of, like, traditional sportscaster stuff on television, there's really only one place where I don't even want to do that because I don't want to say the place, but I'll just say that being a traditional sportscaster in a suit doing 3 minutes of highlights, there isn't a great challenge in that for me. And the days are weird and they can be boring. And I'd honestly rather be doing a talk show. And there were some other, like, intriguing ideas. There were some possibilities for reunions that were really intriguing. And in one case, I was trying to figure out if I can make both work. Like, there were two places, like, if I came back to the Score, could I also work at this place? And Odyssey has been really good for me when it comes to, if it's cable or if it's terrestrial television, they don't give a damn. Like, they want that. Like, if Marshall is on Channel 7, which he is, and if I was doing weekends at Channel 5 or Channel 2, they would be fine with it. Or if David goes and works at CHSN, not a problem. They do bristle at audio formats, and they're very careful about that. Now, House of L gets to exist because I took it to them first. When this whole thing started 8 years ago, I offered it to them and they rejected it. And since then, there has been conversation about annexing it, but they've allowed me to stay independent, and I'm appreciative of that. And in some cases, that's literally been negotiated. But at the end of it, when I sat down with Mitch, and I got to tell you, like, this is the part where I think it's interesting. And let me go back real quick for a second. Ben Bradley, my man from Channel 9, he had his 50th birthday party. And he's, what, 7 or 8 weeks older than I am. So while I'm going through this kind of crisis of conscience, I went to his party. And there were a lot of different media people there. And it was great because it allowed me to bounce some ideas. There were also some other people there where I was like, wait, you know such and such? And you know, I leveled up in some of the conversations that I had at that party. And Ben always has done that. He's always put me in rooms that I didn't necessarily belong in. And I appreciate him. Like, that's 35 years of friendship of him doing that. But talking to other people in the industry about representation, I had an incredible conversation with Lauren Jiggetts, who, you know, me and LJ worked together at Channel 5. I've known LJ since she was in high school, because I worked for Dan. And we had this great conversation about kind of where the industry was going, and I talked with some other people about representation and how we think we need an agent, but we kind of don't. If you have a good lawyer, and I have friends who are married to people in the business that are lawyers, and they say, I can look over your contract. Like, that was the weirdest part, is that I had a couple of people just say, I'll look it over. I'll charge you a flat rate. You don't have to give me a percentage. So here's how it works. If I have an agent, I negotiate the percentage. The percentage is usually, when you're really young, they can get you for 10, 12%. Okay. If you're at the top of the industry and you're making you're calling a lot of shots, like, I would imagine, I don't know this, but I would imagine that Stephen A's agent probably gets 5% of what he's getting. Mine got 7%. And he earned it. He earned that 7% with the contract that I had. If there's nothing else than the negotiation, like, if your agent isn't out there pitching you for other things, or is trying to, some agents want you to climb. I'm at a point in my career where if something cool comes along, great, but I'm not actively looking to leave the score to go be a SportsCenter anchor. You know what I mean? A hosting opportunity of some sort would be great. If Amazon was like, hey, come and host some of our football coverage, bet, I'm down. If CHSN, not that they're national, but if CHSN was like, hey, we're going to do a bear show, would you like to host it? Yeah, I'm down. But the active, like, looking for some of that stuff is not what I'm interested in, and it's usually what an agent would do. So after having these conversations with people at Ben's party, I felt more emboldened than ever that I was doing the right thing in representing myself, or planning to represent myself. And if you have great communication with your agent, it can work out really well. Like, they know you. My agent isn't in this market and has a bunch of other clients, and I get that. But a lot of times, agents are pushing for you to make more money, because more money is how they make more money, because they're getting a percentage. That's your hustle. That's your business. I got it. And while a raise is something that I feel like I've earned and deserved at the score, it wasn't the driving force in the things that I wanted negotiated. There were other things, like being able to be out of the house and it not costing me a day off. So, like, if I want to, and that's one of the things that we agreed on, there's going to be a number of days where I'm not on the show, but I'm out doing stuff, that I'm going to be at White Sox or go to Cubs as they finish this season out. I'll be more present and visible. Bears training camp, I'm going to have an opportunity to go cover some of training camp, and I'm excited about that. Big Ten or SEC media day, stuff like that, I am going to be able to go and gain institutional knowledge, number one, and two, go on a bunch of shows. Like, if I go cover Big Ten Media Days, you might hear me do a hit with Layla and Marshall, and then do a hit with Spiegs and Grody if he's sitting in for me, like that sort of thing. and they were really open to it. So to make a long story short, the negotiation that I had with the score was the best negotiation that I've ever had as a professional. And I do think that that is in part to it being two guys that have known each other forever and knowing that I wasn't walking in there trying to break the bank. And them knowing, I think, hey, he's not bluffing on he might just call it a career and go and move on and go do something else. And it was simple. It was so simple. Mitch and I talked about parameters in April, like what it could look like. Then they made an offer in May. And then I thought about it for a little bit. I made a counteroffer. And we signed a deal. So, I'm staying at the score for a little bit longer. I'm excited. I'm excited that I'm going to be out in the field. I'm excited about the direction of the Spiegel and Holmes show. And there's another part of that, too. And it's great, like, talking with Spiegs about some of this stuff. And I want to, I'll just let you know, like, this is how I feel about it. And maybe that's an issue of growth as I've gotten older. When it comes to my colleagues, I am very transparent about contracts. Because I want them to know what it is that I'm doing, and in some cases, what I'm making, so that they can work off of that accordingly. There's SAG-AFTRA, but as far as radio talk show hosts, there's no union. So anyone who has been negotiating with the score, I have told them, here's what I'm making. You should ask for more than what I'm making. That should be a floor for you or a reference point for you to determine your own negotiation. Because I think the more that we talk about this stuff, the easier the negotiations can be. But I talked to Spiegs about all of it and let him kind of, because, you know, if I'm going to miss some shows here or there because I'm out at Bears training camp or whatever, I want him to know that. Like that, I have seen and witnessed partners not negotiating in good faith and not being transparent. And it can cause a rift. And I didn't want any of that. So I let him know. And look, there's stupid stuff in my contract. Like, we have bad chairs in our office. And I wanted new chairs for the entire office. And so that's one of the things that the score was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's easy. Let's get some chairs. And so now we have new chairs. And it just makes the day easier. Because I had a chair that was missing two wheels. So I was like balancing on it. Like, we have nice chairs in the conference room. Can we just get chairs that look like that? It's little things that matter. And with Spiegs, we've been successful. Our show has been successful. And I said to him, my joke with him is that we've been number one longer than Boys to Men. Because I think currently, like, we're in a little bit of a race here for this particular quarter. But it's 30 weeks of us being number one in our demo. And that's strange because a couple of those ratings periods are not historically good for sports talk. But I do think the changes that Nielsen has made it easier for us to succeed in that way. But what is that success? We've had a long conversation about that. And the answer is financially, yes. But when it comes to, is the show good? Are we having fun? I think that there are still some elements of, like, we're trying to master that as a show. And that's exciting. He's been a really good partner for me. And being able to talk through some of this stuff with him and with Tanny has been helpful in helping me make up my mind. And hearing from Marshall and Layla and them being like, hey, you know, we want you around here. Like, we need you around here. That's, hearing that was extremely helpful in making the decision to stay. And I don't know if you've been able to hear it. And my hope is that you haven't been able to hear that I've been sad. I've been trying to be honest about that too. But I've been a better talk show host the last 3 or 4 weeks. I feel like I'm in a better place than what I was at the end of football season. And I feel like I've adjusted to a lot of different things and a lot of the changes that have happened. I feel like I'm getting better in that. I feel like I have a direction, and I'm not dreading my 50s. I am trying to celebrate it and figure out how I can be the happiest. And this still fits inside of that. I still love to create. I still love to be on air. I still love what we do from a day-to-day basis. And yeah, it has its problems from time to time. And you address them. And you try to work through them. But I'm staying. And we'll see how long that lasts. And to the Score's credit, they're understanding about that too. Having good bosses is a big deal, y'all. And it's sometimes you don't really see or appreciate what it means until it matters the most. And I got to give Mitch a lot of credit. He's done everything to try and make sure that the Score is stable with all the changes that it's gone through and that the people that are there are happy. And that's important. Knowing that any time that I've had like a serious issue and I've been able to talk to him and talk with Kevin Cassidy and be like, hey, this is what I'm feeling. And if I'm wrong, let me know. If I'm right, can we come to a conclusion on some of this stuff? And them being open to it. I've had a lot of bosses where you bring stuff to their attention and they're like, get the fuck out of my office. They're not here for it. That has not been the case. I think that Odyssey Chicago, I can't speak for Odyssey, but I think Odyssey Chicago is in great hands right now. And that played a significant role in me really staying in this and focusing in on it. So I want to thank them. I want to thank the bosses for hearing me and being transparent throughout everything that's happened. And I want to be very clear about this. Everything that's happened since Danny left the Score last year, they have been transparent about it. Everything. And because of that, it allowed me to make all sorts of decisions because I knew where they were coming from and they knew where I was coming from. And that's all you can ask for, is that your bosses be transparent with you on what they expect, what they want, and what's going on. And while I don't have power, some people think I do, but what I do have is enough respect that as things were going on, everything was told to me. Hey, this might affect you this way, or this way. What do you think about this, this, and this? And having that type of relationship is more valuable than gold. Hence why I didn't ask for like a whole bunch of money. I wasn't like, I want all of the money. That's a dangerous game to play. You can ask for all of the money, and then they can say, no, I didn't want all the money. I just want a little bit of money. And I got it. I always joke. That's why they pay me the medium bucks. But I'm happy, and I'm happy with this. And it took me a long time to get back to happy. But I'm back there, and I hope that it shows in the shows that I do, that the stuff that Spiegs and I come up with Tanny. And I'm looking forward to this. And had you asked me a year ago if I was going to stay, the answer would have been, I don't know, probably not. And I signed this week, so we are all systems go. And from time to time, I'll pop in on the pod and kind of tell you all about what's happening. But I appreciate you. For those of you that care about this, you have it all here. Everything you need to know about how all of this stuff, with me at least, went down. And I couldn't be happier, and I'm excited to... I love doing transition with Marshall and Layla and Grody, and I love what we're building in afternoons. And I think that this football season is going to be out of this world. And I can't wait. Cannot wait for you to see what we come up with and some of the people that we bring on and some of the things that I get to do out in the field. It's going to be outstanding. I will talk to you next time. Peace.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.